This is Chaim Bravender, Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva. And we're going to talk a little bit about Purim today. Purim is Sunday night is Purim in Yerushalayim. Motzei Shabbat in the rest of the world. And that leads us to our discussion this evening. Is Purim a diaspora holiday? Before we start, I want to remind you that this shiur is being given in memory of Dr. Chuck Feldman, Zichrono Livracha, by his loving family. In the past, I've often tried to explain that Chuck Feldman, Dr. Feldman, and I had a close relationship, and I know some of the children who were students in the yeshiva. And so it's especially meaningful to me that I have this opportunity. Is Purim a diaspora holiday? We know that Purim is the only holiday which is sort of celebrated differently in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, everybody knows what Purim is. I mean, it's on the 15th day of Adar or Adar Bet. But in Eretz Yisrael, it might be a day later. I mean, it is also, it's hard to understand why the walled cities in Israel are treated differently than all the other cities in the world as far as celebration is concerned. Nevertheless, that's the case. And one way of understanding this difference is that somehow the holiday which took place outside of Eretz Yisrael and doesn't seem to have a real connection to Eretz Yisrael, to the people in Eretz Yisrael, that holiday was celebrated in a way that sort of emphasized the fact that Eretz Yisrael was not involved. Eretz Yisrael was not involved. So we want to look at those parts, those texts in the Tanakh that teach us how Jews should be in Chutz La'aretz. And that, for that, we're going to look carefully at the first parak of the book of Daniel. The first parak of the book of Daniel, and the first pasuk says, "Bishnat Shalosh Malchut Yoyakim." Yoyakim was one of the last kings in Yehuda. Yoyakim Melech Yehuda. He wasn't particularly powerful. Ba Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. Yerushalayim v'yatzar aleha. This is the pasuk tells you the whole story. There was Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babel, and he was powerful, and he came to Yerushalayim, which was a walled city and strong, v'yatzar aleha, and he laid siege to it. The people who lay siege to the city are the powerful ones. They're the ones with the ability. So Rashi goes through this matter of dating, which we're going to have to skip and move on, because it doesn't really help our basic idea. Vayitein Adonai biyado et Yoyakim, Melech Yehuda. So Nebuchadnezzar took Yoyakim, who was then the king of Yehuda, right? Miktzat klei beit. I mean, after all, you remember Israel was split into two parts, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was destroyed by Sanherib in 722 BCE. And here we are standing at 586 BCE, which, you know, is like a way, but there's only left Melech, Biyadot Yoyakim, Melech Yehuda. Melech Yehuda, meaning there is no longer this idea of 12 tribes Because the northern tribes, which are like most of them, most of the tribes, 10 or more, were exiled and disappeared as far as we are concerned. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they're doing. Miksat klei beit ha'elukim, u'miksat, and, you know, as a sign of his victory, he took the vessels from the house of God. I mean, something unthinkable. Vayivim el Eretz-Shinar. Eretz-Shinar is Babel. Eretz-Shinar is Babel. Beit Elohav et ha-keilim evi beit otzar Elohav. So the vessels from the temple were brought to the storehouse of his God. So as an introduction, right? As an introduction to the situation that we are confronting, we understand that there was a churban, a destruction, and the destruction meant kind of dissociating the temple in Yerushalayim from the people. The temple was taken over. It became a house of idolatry. The kelim were used by the idolaters. It was a spiritual revolting situation. Then in Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Melech Lashpanaz Rav Sarisav Lavi, and so the king came up with this great idea, Lahavi Mibnei Yisrael, bring, Umizera HaMalchut Min HaPartamin, bring. Bring who? Pasuk Dalit, just one second. Pasuk Dalit, Yiladim. Yiladim probably means young people. Young people. Yiladim, it says children. Asher ein lahem kol mum. They're not blemished, which I think might mean they've never fought in the war. They are not suffering from the defeat physically. V'tovei mar'eh, good looking young boys. Maskilim, intelligent, bekol chachma, you know, they have been studious and learned what it is you're supposed to learn. Yodei da'at, it sounds like the people who built the Mishkan, u'mevinei mada, understanding things that can be understood, v'asher koach behem lamod beichal ha'melech, and they have the ability to stand, to persevere, in the court of the king. Heichal HaMelech. The Melech also says Heichal. Heichal is a Sumerian word. Egal. I mean, it's a word. Just to show the Jews didn't have one. L'lamdam Sefer U'lishon Kastim. So what was this idea that the king had? Why is he bringing children from Eretz Yisrael, who are clever, you know, this kind of clever kids? They wear glasses and they know what's going on, and they quick learners. And he wanted them. What did he want them for? What did he think that they were going to, what were they going to give him? One more pasuk, Vayiman lahem ha-melech v'ayom v'yomo, and the king decided to give them a scholarship. He gave them their daily need, mipat bag hamelech, right? Pat, the bread, umiyein mishtav, ulegadlam shanim shalosh umiksatam yamdu lifnei hamelech. And so he had this training program, in which he wanted these children of the exiled community to participate. Miksatam, and finally, of this project that he had, some of them became the ones who stood with the king. So he was, I suppose, setting up a foreign service. He needed people who spoke languages, who understood, could read and write, who understood what was going on, and he had the ability or the wherewithal to train them. And that's what he did. He, the king, did that. So the Pasuk Vav, he says, Vayhi Bahem Mibnei Yehuda. And the ones who are notable, who came from Yehuda, that means they were exiled by the king for this specific purpose. Their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Four famous names. We just look at the Rashi. Go back to Pasuk Bet. V'kzat klei beit ha'elokim gein lakach. Some were taken and some were left. Miktzatam nisharu. K'moshin ne'emar k'omar Hashem Tzvaot al ha'amodi v'al hayam v'al ha'mechonot v'al yeter keilim anotarim v'ir hazot. So not all of them were taken, and then there's another pasuk, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it seems to indicate that that was the case. Vayivim Eretz Shinar Beit Elokav, Eretz Shinar is Bavel. Lekales, la'avod lekales means to praise. La'avod as kochavim, idolatry shalom, his idolatry. Vishamet Hashivya Kula, and he brought all of the exile. Afet Anashim et Akelim, Evi Beit Otsar, he brought it. He brought them, brought all of those things. Apartimim, Dukasim. Dukas is a title. Asher koch behem, Pasuk Dalet says, Asher koch behem lamod beheichal hamelech. Asher koch behem lamod beheichal Rashi omer pirshu razal sheyu onsim atzman min hatzchok umin hatzicha. They would force themselves not to laugh and not to have conversations. Umin hasheina mipnei eimat malchut, because they were in fear of the king. V'shema'amidim atzmam kishenitzrachim lenikveihem. And they would sort of insist that they had to go to relieve themselves. Okay, so we have a picture. There's an exile. The exile doesn't interest the king that much. We're talking about, we go back to the first pasuk. Ba Nebuchadnezzar. See Nebuchadnezzar? El Babel Yerushalayim Vayatzer Alea. Nebuchadnezzar was victorious. It was impossible to live in Yerushalayim. He exiled them. He exiled the various people who were productive and positive and could contribute to his own world, the world in which he lived and functioned. But beyond that, he took these four young men and he gave them a course, let's say, foreign service. They knew languages, they were smart, they were good looking, they were, you know, and they had no choice. They had to take the course. So in Pasuk Zion, Vayasem Daniel Alibo Asher Lo Yitgael Bipat Bag HaMelech. So all of a sudden, the Torah, or the book of Daniel, tells us that these four young men, while they were taken, uprooted from their world in which they grew up in, while they were part of a defeated army and a defeated administrative body. And the king was not really a king, and Nebuchadnezzar was in charge. Nevertheless, it says here in Pasuk Zayin, Vayasim lahem sar hasari sim shemot. So the sar hasari sim said, you got to have names. What sort of names? In other words, if you're going to be important personalities, if you're going to be outstanding members of the court of the king, this is, well, you've got to have names that we recognize as being the proper names, right? The proper names. So Pasuk Zayin Vayasem Lem Sarah Sarisim Shemot Vayasem LeDaniel Belshazzar. And so we know now that Daniel sounds like a Jewish name, a Hebrew name. Belshazzar sounds like a Babylonian name. Hananiah Shadrach, Ul Mishael Meshach, Ul Azariah Abednego. So that while this may not have been particularly part of the course that they undertook, it became understood that in order to be part of the Babylonian administration, in order to be part of the king's retinue, obviously you had to sound like you belong. And how do you sound like you belong? You sound like you belong because you have a Babylonian name. That's what the Pasuk teaches us. That's how important it was. Vayasim lahem sara sari sim, Pasuk Zayin, Shemot, Vayasim Daniel Belshazzar, important. Hananiah Shadrach, Mishael Meshach, Lazariah Avadnego, so that even though it was true, that the king chose them because of their talents and abilities, the Sarasari Sim, who was not the king, but a different kind of functionary, said, we can't have them running around without having Babylonian names. And so he named them. He named them. So if you look at the Rashi says, Sar HaSari Sim, Rashi says, Shaya Sar Al Mishartei HaMelech. He was in charge of all the people who served the king. King served the king. We're up to Pasuk Tet. Vayitena Elokim et Daniel lechesed urachamim lifnei Sar HaSari Sim. So I think this means that in some way, Daniel was in charge of the group, right? That's what the pasuk says. Yitain Elokim et Daniel. Daniel became the leader. Lechesed, he received a good opportunities and chesed and rachamim. Lefnei Sar Hasarisim, the person who named him. Vayom es Sar Hasarisim leDaniel yirei ani et Adoni HaMelech, Asher mina et ma'achalchem ve'et mishtechem, Asher lama yiru et pileichem zo'afim min ha'yiladim, Asher kigilchem, v'chiyavtem et roshei HaMelech. So he says, the Sarashiv says to Daniel, Yirei ani et Adoni HaMelech, I'm a little nervous about the king. About the king, Yadoni HaMelech, Asher minat ma'achalchem ve'et mishtechem, Asher mina et ma'achalchem. So Rashi says, Asher mina, just one second, Asher izmin, He ordered it with Sipek and he gave it to you. He gave it to you. Yorei ani et Adonai HaMelech sheminah et machalchem et mishtachem. He gave you the food to eat and the drink to drink. Asher lama yiret b'neichem zo'afim. Yiret b'neichem zo'afim. Min ha'yeladim asher kegilchem v'chiyavtem et roshi la'melech. So there's something wrong here. How is the king going to understand the fact that you don't eat the food that he supplies? Vayomer Daniel el Melsar asher minat sar hasarisim al Daniel Hananya Mishael v'Azaria vayomer, and Daniel said to the Melsar. Meltzar is a kind of a service person. Hashem minat sarasari sim al Daniel Hanan Mishael Azariah. There was a sort of a sub attendant. The sarasari sim was overall, and he appointed somebody to take care of the needs of these four. Nasna et avadecha yamim asara v'yitnu lanu min hazer onim. So again, here we are. Rashi says, Nes is the Shod Nisayon, it's a trial. Minazer Onim, the things that grow in the ground, Min Kitliot, Tachat Atbag. It was instead of eating a full meal, they would just eat. They would eat less. They would eat less. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Right? Nas na et avadecha yamim asarach. Test us. For 10 days we eat nulanu min azero nim ven ochla. We'll eat kosher food. Umayim v'nishte v'yeyra'u lefanecha mar'enu u'mar'e ha'yiladim ha'ochlim et patbag ha'melech v'chasher tir'eh aseh im avodecha. You'll see us eating and you will be able to take care of it, to serve us. V'yishma lahem l'davar hazeh v'yinaseim yamim asara. They tried it for 10 days. And they tested it. Umiksat yamim asara, when the 10 days were over, nirah mareem tovu b'rei basar, they looked like they were still healthy, so we understand what the problem was. Isar hasarisim thought if he didn't feed them regular food, they would like waste away. But here they ate kosher food, and they were b'rei basar, min kol. Ha-yiladim, ha-ochlim et patbag ha-melech. They were better off than all of the children or the other people in the course, in his foreign service course. Vayihi ha-meltzar noseet pitki bigam v'yeim mishteihem v'notem lehen zerodim. And that's how it happened. The meltzar, Rashi says, the meltzar, Asoder et amanot vet akarot shekarim meishtreim ale. Okay, fine. Fine. I mean, here you have a story of Jewish young men, Daniel, etc. Jewish young men who were clever, healthy, well thought of, in a course, taken in the course, into the course of the king Nebuchadnezzar. It seems to me always when I learn this parasha, when I look at the things, it seems to me that you know, every king in those days had a problem. How do you get a community of people working for you who really want your interests? How's the king to be sure that the people he's hired to work for him are not that interested in him at all, but they are kind of a fifth column waiting for an opportunity to change? And that's probably what happened with Ahasuerus, as Rashi there points out. Vayhi bimei Ahasuerus, hu Ahasuerus, abolech mihodu v'yadkush sheva v'esuvu miyam medina. That's what the pasuk says. Well, what does the pasuk say? It says that Ahasuerus, written twice, didn't have a father. Because it is common in the Tanakh, when you introduce a person to the reader, to the person who's learning, that he has a father. And the fact that Ahasuerus didn't have a father might mean, as the Medrash pointed out, and Rashi also points out at the beginning of the, that somehow Ahasuerus was the usurper of the kingship, but his father was not a king. He then married the wife of the former king, whose name was Vashti. And things happened as they happened. But Ahasuerus was the king who was not the king of, who was not the son of a king. So you see that names can really make a difference. There's a difference between Ahasuerus and Nebuchadnezzar. And so these young men who came to Babel and were introduced to the opportunity of becoming part of the king's foreign service or the king's service of one kind or another, they were introduced to that opportunity. They executed their job they very well. They learned what they were supposed to learn, and they acted in the way they were supposed to act. But the Tsar HaSarisim, the person who was in charge of the overall vision of this event, had to change their names. He says, it can't be. It can't be that the foreign service of the king of Nebuchadnezzar is made up of Daniel. How could Daniel be the person of So this is true. I mean, we know this is true. I mean, I grew up in a generation. I was born. I won't mention exactly how many years at this moment, but it was not an insignificant number of years. So when I was born, in the generation to which I was born, you had a Hebrew name that you got at the bris, if you were a boy, of course. In those days, the days I was married, the difference between boys and girls was clearer than it is today. So I had a Hebrew name. And I had an English name. And that made sense. It made sense to everybody. What made sense? Because sometimes, you know, like if I've asked my parents, sometimes you need it. Sometimes you need it. And 20 or 30 years later, things changed. And everybody that I knew, everybody who was in the modern Orthodox or even more right-wing world, they all had Hebrew names in America. You had Hebrew names, so it's considered to be perfectly reasonable to have a Hebrew name. So here we have an indication that moving from Eretz Yisrael to the diaspora had a variety of difficulties. But one of the difficulties was the name. And you have to remember that there's the Medrash that says that B'nai Yisrael lo shino et shmam, that B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim realized that by changing their names, they would be kind of pushing themselves further into the diaspora, further into Galut. So lo shinu et shmam. I mean, I don't know exactly what that means, how many people were involved, blah, blah, but it's an idea. The idea is that one of the dangers, one of the signs that Galut, that exile, is dangerous, is when you change your name, when you become part of the community of that name. And you see there's very little connection between the names that they arrived to Babel with, these four young scholars, and they didn't want to change their names. They were happy with their names. Pasuk Tesvav, Vahia Meltzar, the waiter, Noseit Pat Pagam, Yaim Ishtehem, Notein Lem Zeronim. Okay, eat what you want. Pasuk Kaf, Chodavar Chochmat Bina, Asher Bikesh Mehem HaMelech. They performed in an outstanding way. They were better. They were better than everybody else. Right? And then Zuk. Al kol hachartumim. Hachartumim is a word that we know from Mitzrayim. So Rashi says the Chartumim, you see it here printed. Eile sheshoalim betimei meitim, batzmot meitim. They're the people who divine things from the bones and the different parts of the dead. Kama datamar sechik atzmot sechik tamya. The atzamot, the bones, tell you what hidden things. Ashafim, Eile Shidoch Hakim Mazal Kafle for Rashbatan Chumene. So in other words, these four people, Hananya, Mishael, Azari, and Daniel at the head, they lived in a world of idolatry, the world that the Torah prohibits. And they somehow managed to do it, as to live. Vayhi pasuk kaf aleph, vayhi Daniel ad shnat achat lekoresh hamelech lebi ma shetireh asa. Rashi says vayhi Daniel bigdula bebavel. He became great, was known in Babel, until the beginning of the reign of Koresh. Koresh is Cyrus, the king of Persia, who inherited all of the world of Nebuchadnezzar. Ledivrei ha-omer ha-tach Daniel. There are those who think that the Tach is was the intermediary between Esther and Mordechai, Hatach, Zed Daniel. Milama Likrashmo Hatach, why is he called by that name? She Chathuhu Migdulato. They removed him or cut him off from his important position. Tzuchim Anu Lamar Shezeho Koresh Arishon. We have to say this is the first Koresh. She Lifnei Achashverosh. Before Achashverosh, the Divrei Omer Shekol Divrei Malchut Nitkaven Al Piv, and those who say that the Malchut was determined by whatever he said, Ne'emar Koresh Zehu Daryavesh Hasheni Achar Achashverosh, who be made that Dariavish was the king that came after Ahasuerus, so either Korach was Koresh was before him or after him, would be made Dariavish Amadi Sheshlichu Ligov Arayot, Sheshlichu Ligov Arayot, and in the time of Dariavish, the Mede, who threw them into the Gov Arayot, Lo Yerad Migdulato, he still remained a great person in his time, Shneemar, V'Daniel Dana Hatzlach, V'Malchut Dariavish, Malchut Koresh, Parso, Lamadnu, Shabimei Koresh, Arishon, Ayah Migdulah, that even the time of Cyrus, the first Cyrus, is the one who allowed the Jews to come back to Eretz Israel. But what I think that this chapter teaches us is how the relationship between the conqueror and the conquered was something that could be dealt with if we had maintained several principles. One principle was you don't eat just anything. You don't live in the same way that they live in Babel. And the second thing is, apparently you have to accept a local name. Accept a local name. You know that when it comes to the names, you know, there was this beauty contest in which Esther played a role, and she actually managed to win the jackpot. And as a result of winning the jackpot, she saved the Jewish people. But Esther, it is said, as it says, that she had a name. She had a name like inside, like her hidden name was Hadassah. That was her real name, so to speak. And Esther was the name she used in Babel. Ein Esther Magedet et Amavad Moladeta. She didn't want anybody to know her name. Because, because we'll see in a moment, but it was, the Megillah tells us that even though the Megillah calls her Esther, she had a name that was appropriate to being from the exile of Yisrael, and that name was Hadassah. And we know that in modern times, everybody knows that the names Mordechai and Esther are Babylonian names, names of Babylonian gods, Marduk and Ishtar. And so that in order for the Jewish community to live at peace with the general community, it was necessary for them to have a Babylonian name. And when the pasuk says Ein Esther Magedet Amava Muladata, that Esther didn't tell anybody what her nation was, means that she didn't emphasize it, because we have here in pasuk in Esther Perek Zion, you remember that there was a party that Esther arranged for the king and Haman. She already went to one party, which was not a great success, and now the second party. So if you say Esther Hamalka, Esther, what do you want, Esther Hamalka? It's like saying, I'm making an offer to someone that doesn't exist. There is no such person as Esther Malka. There's only Hadassah. Esther Amalcha is an imaginary person. I can make that promise to the imaginary person that I'm talking to, the person who doesn't have their own name. So Esther says to him, and the pasuk says, "Vatan Esther Hamalka." Says yes, even though I'm not really the queen, because there's really nobody named Esther. Nevertheless, that might make it easier for you. So that she knows that he knows. He didn't mention any nation, the nation of Israel, but he knew, the king knew that this was all imaginary, that Esther was an imaginary person. If it was that Haman wanted to sell us, that I wouldn't have said anything. Right? Look here. Dinatein li nafshi, Rashi says. You see the Rashi? Shelo arog b'shlosha sabah adar shagizrat gizera harigal ami umoladati. I won't die on the 13th of Adar. He says, so you're not really part of that group. You're Esther. And she says, Nafshi and Ami. I mean, why do you say Nafshi and Ami? Shelo Yargu, Rashi says, Vim Toma Mach Batlach, Ki Echacha Ochal V'Ra'iti. Right, Patsuk. Ki Nimkano Aniva Ami, Lashmid La Rogel Abed. He makes believe that he doesn't know who Esther is. Right? Hashem o libo lasot kei. But Tomer Esther, ish sar v'oyev haman harasha hazeh, v'aman ni'at milipnei ha-melech v'amilbalka. V'amelech kam v'chamatov mishte ha-yayim. He understands that he has been fooled and that he gets up and he goes into the Ginat Abitan. I mean, what did he do? He didn't do anything bad. Haman, he offered Achashverosh a solution to a problem that he had. He'll make money by killing all the Jews. So what was it that Haman thought? He understood that Esther was the real Malka, even though she was an imaginary person. Rashi says, let them live. Every pasuk in which the word "vayomer" appears twice, beit pa'amim, eino ela lemidrash. That means that you have something hidden there, some interpretation. Midrashot shel zeh b'tchila hayav edaber ima al yedei shaliach עכשיו שהיא ידעה שממשפחת מלאכים היא דיבר אימא ובעצמו. So Rashi says that pasuk in pasukei vayoma melchash v'rosh vayomer l'ester hamalka. It's like the vayomer number two is an awareness that Esther Malka exists as a real Malka. She functions in the world of the various powers in the household of Achashverosh. I think that we all know that the battle that the Jews fought against the Haman and his legions, that battle took place outside of Eretz Yisrael, and that the victory was celebrated in Babel in the first years. And there's a lesson to be learned about life in exile, that certain things you can do and certain things apparently you can't do. And it's not possible to live exactly the same way as you might live in Eretz Yisrael. And so Esther had to change her name, and Mordechai had to change his name, and Daniel had to change their names. And they had to be, to a certain extent, integrated in the world of the exile. And that's the story of Esther and Mordechai. It was not only about the anti-Semitism of Haman and those who went with him, but it was also about how you could live successfully in the world of the diaspora. And successful living in that world meant that Hadassah had to become Esther. And it's only as Esther that she could be the Malka. But Mordechai, he couldn't become the leader of the nation, as Daniel apparently did for a short time. So it would seem to me if you take this idea to heart, you might be able to a useful aspect of the Megillah, which is also about how they lived. How did Mordechai live? How did Esther live? How did they convince the king that they were right, etc.? And the answers might come from Daniel, that the kings always needed clever secretaries to tell him what to do and to run the government on his behalf. I wish you all a happy Purim, and have a good Shabbos.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. I have a question. Mordechai and Esther have become Hebrew names now. I mean, they become
what? What have they become?
Jewish names. Hebrew name.
Oh, yeah. They have, but the Megillah says that she had another name.
Right.
It's not my invention.
No, I know.
All the best. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.